anything like that.
I'm a very confident front runner. I've caddied for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it!
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course, that's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course, we want to play at the weekend.
Hello, welcome along to Golf Weekly's review of 2016. This is very exciting. Fionn Davenport, hello to you.
Hey, Joe.
Nathan Murphy.
What a year.
What a year. 2016 was a bitch of a year generally, but for golf, I think it was quite good, we can say. You
know? Yeah, it was.
It was
golf ends the year with the president.
Ryder Cup and Olympics, obviously, big success in the end.
Great success, super.
Yeah,
all right, let's not go crazy.
Although, actually, Malachy Clerkin wrote a great piece in the Irish Times during the week on Monday about just what a disgrace the golf course in Rio has become. Already, they think it will fall into complete disrepair in the early months of next year.
Ah, no.
Yes.
Much in the way of these white elephant stadiums they build.
Precisely. Yeah.
And one of the great successes of the success of the Olympics was that everybody was raving about the course.
Mm-hmm.
I know, all those residents of the favela that went, Dad.
They couldn't shut up about it.
Dad, I need to get the new TaylorMade irons because they've got like a day membership.
Yeah, well, apparently that course will be no more very soon. And there's also emerging, if not surprising, corruption about just how they got this golf course built in a natural reserve, special nature area without any of the documentation. So there you go. Clint Astridge tweeted us. He was looking forward to the pod. He said, "I love you more than my hot missus. I can't wait till the year in review pod this week."
That's grounds for divorce.
Ian Sweeney sent us a picture. I love this. I encourage this. This makes me happy. Stuck in Chicago Sunday. Connection to Omaha cancelled. Thankfully, had saved the pod. Thanks, guys. We got him through. John Cusack was in New Jersey. A little too cold to play golf today in New Jersey, lads. 28 Fahrenheit, Fionn. What is that in?
28 Fahrenheit. So 32 is freezing. So it's whatever, like 3 below.
Right.
Is that the John Cusack?
No.
Do you know John Cusack?
The actor? No, I'd like to though. He comes across, I don't know why, but he seems like he'd be a nice guy.
Be a great friend to have.
Yeah, like Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that Tom Hanks comes across really well, say, when he was on Graham Norton, say, a couple of weeks ago? No.
John Cusack is like thoughtful, sensitive, funny, just interesting, isn't he? Mm. Yeah, he's good. Quite handsome in a sort of way.
John Cusack?
Yeah. I mean, he's not, you don't look at him and think, God, he's Matt Dillon.
No, you wouldn't. No, well, you would, but because you didn't. You needed your
girlfriend. I didn't see the
girlfriend.
Matt Dillon thing. I like John Cusack. Yeah, I get it.
No, I do. Those eyes, soft eyes.
He was a kind of a staple of 1980s coming of age films.
What's the name? I watched it recently where he holds the stereo above his head.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real signature 80s movie.
It is.
Someone will tweet in.
Gross Point Blank, I liked.
Yeah.
High Fidelity.
There we go.
That wasn't it.
We can all agree on High Fidelity being great.
No, the book is better.
That's a separate conversation. But the film is still very good.
Do you think Gross Point Blank is better than High Fidelity?
Yeah, it didn't do it for me, really. Fell apart in the last half hour for me.
Yeah, in that.
High Fidelity is one of my favourite movies. Because
what
of
is?
The time.
High Fidelity?
Like Gross Point Blank, you see, at a certain time in your life, is probably perfect. High Fidelity for me, 95, 96, I'm 14.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I dreamed of being John Cusack.
Yeah.
I put all my CDs in alphabetical order.
Did you? A lot of 80s, 90s kids would have really thought, I'd like to be... John Cusack's a good adult role model.
I'm still trying to think of the one where he's holding the boombox. It's Something in Love or...
I watched it just recently.
It's a good film.
Something's
gotta give? Is it Something's Gotta Give?
I don't know.
And we're not even Googling because...
Fionn, I must move on.
There's The Sure Thing is also a really good John Cusack film.
Your favourite John Cusack...
What about John Cusack?
Movies.
His sister. What are you laughing at?
No shit.
Hey, it could be a lot
of... Wow, really?
Cyril Cusack, no relation.
I know, but Joan and John look a bit similar.
No, they don't.
Same chin.
They're the same person.
I really must move on. Steve O'Sullivan was listening to the pod, looking out over a foggy Cork city. Not a day for golf. # going to miss the pod. We're not gone for that long.
Yeah, it's Christmas time. Ho, ho, ho.
Dermot O'Reilly, love the show, lads. Ever heard of Jack Nicklaus? Best golfer ever. You guys should look him up. And he had a smiley face. Do you know what that's about?
I don't know. Tiger Woods is
I'm
the greatest
golfer
ever. I'm
guessing that we mentioned over the last 2 weeks of Tiger specials that Tiger was the greatest golfer ever.
Okay. No, we've heard of Jack, and I think we're still going with Tiger.
Yep.
Kevin Price, time for the weekly dose of nonsense and great entertainment.
Which is a brilliant compliment, and yet I felt cheapened.
Yeah. This is not just about banter. We are very serious about our golf.
Yeah.
James Flood Oh, yeah. So Fionn did an interview with Jarlath Reagh, an Irishman abroad. He's the toast of the media town. Oh, my goodness. So lots of people enjoyed your interview. An Irishman abroad, if you haven't heard this interview, it's really, really good. So just search for an Irishman
Turns
abroad.
Turns out the yips are the least of his issues.
Yeah. You know what I mean? This guy's had problems.
Where do the yips go? Where do the yips rank? Okay.
Can I just say...
This man has damaged goods.
Yeah, I don't actually have the driver yips. I'm just going to say it once. That's it.
Great interview at Fionn Davenport. I thought Jarlath should have highlighted, though, the mention of the other half at 57 minutes. A theme other listeners have grappled onto. Damien McCauley said, lads, I've just downloaded for tomorrow. I bet he spends half an hour chatting about having a girlfriend. Aina O'Connor, bravo to Fionn Davenport. Brilliant interview with Jarlath Reagh. But notice how he said other half and not girlfriend.
I'm bemused by the...
Philip
Spillane on to the
said, ah, lads, are you suggesting we all listen to Fionn talk about himself for an hour? Is this some sort of sick joke?
Who said this?
That's a very good point.
Philip Spillane.
When you put it like that.
Yeah. Damien yeah. McCauley.
When you put it that way, actually, I don't want to listen to Jarlath Regan's pod.
Tristan Gerd was wondering, why am I all of a sudden seeing so many pictures of Fionn on Twitter? Handsome chap, his girlfriend is a lucky lady. I guess it's the podcast. People are seeing the tweets about the podcast. Dun, dun, dun. Christopher Kearns, what a life. Great pod at Jarlath, at Golf Weekly NT. We want to hear some Italian. Not buying it. Fionn.
I replied Fionn. To him.
Give us some Italian.
Buongiorno, come stai? What yeah. more do you want?
What's the yips in Italian?
I don't actually know what the word yippee. For yip. Yippee.
Yippee.
Just wish all the friends of the pod happy Christmas. And you hope, you know, you're glad they listened during the year, and we hope to see you in the new year.
Ok, vi auguro a tutti un buon Natale, un buon anno nuovo, e spero che voi state ascoltare nell'anno nuovo.
My goodness.
Now we understand why he has a girlfriend.
Holy shizer.
Did you not know that?
And he has the suit on and everything.
We've well, been good was. Friends for a long time, Joe Malloy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The accent?
My mother's from Florence, so I would have grown up not allowed to speak English at home.
We heard the story.
Which just, explains why my
we've
English
all heard
is
the
so poor.
Podcast.
Well, apparently
you,
not Philip Spillane.
You just went up like 2 points out of 10 on the handsome scale.
Ah, here.
212.
Enough.
Ah, stop.
This is uncomfortable.
Yeah,
Tiger okay. Woods, the greatest golfer of all time.
Yeah, okay. That was very nice. I have to say, I'm just impressed with that. That was lovely. Owen Fleming, he played the National in Abu Dhabi this morning, lads. Played easy enough.
Could I saw, is he, a is birdie the, fest he in tweeted, January. He put the photograph
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
It's a lovely, nice shot. I think he's playing a second or is his tee shot from the 18th where you can see the eagle shaped or the whatever the... Yeah,
falcon?
Beautiful.
Is it falcon. A falcon?
It's a falcon, yeah. Mm. It's gorgeous.
Damien O'Brien also heard your interview and said he loves when his pod universe collides. There is also something fun. There is always something fun about seeing different people interact. Cormac Coughlin, a new friend of the pod. 6 days till my exams, so we can presume he's in university somewhere. And I have found myself addicted to At Golf Weekly NT. I never listened to it before. Procrastination takes you to weird places.
Took good to have
us.
You.
Yeah, good to have him with us. My college exams were always after Christmas
yeah.
in Maynooth. So it was like the 5th of January, your Christmas exams would start in college in Maynooth.
Ooh, Christmas ruined.
That's a form. That's torture. So
awful.
Your Christmas is ruined.
Oh, you sit there on the 26th, even to an extent on the 25th, and you feel low-level anxiety stroke guilt for not studying at every moment. You're watching TV going, oh, can I watch Back to the Future 2?
How'd you get on in college anyway?
Fine, 2-1. Usual business.
Nathan?
2-1, yeah.
Yeah.
Arts.
Yeah, we both did arts. Look where we've ended
no,
up.
No, we all three did arts.
Yeah. There's a reason we don't get paid for this podcast. Yeah. Ronan, favourite time of the week listening to At Golf Weekly NT on the way to work. Hashtag chipping yips don't exist. Hashtag Chambly doesn't know shit.
Yeah.
Hashtag King Tiger. Dave Kelly asks, are you feeling a little miffed that you missed out on the Golf Weekly photo shoot pic for the podcast? You too.
You tweeted that last... You read that out
Why
last week.
Why do you keep
week?
Bringing this up?
Sorry, I forgot yeah. I brought it out last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I still see it's your face. Yeah. Your face alone.
I have insisted that that be not changed. Oh,
yeah. You made that joke last week too.
Sorry. Okay, so we've a big year to review. We also have a competition, Nathan Murphy.
Great, great moment just before Christmas.
Yeah.
An opportunity for our loyal listeners.
Friends of the pod. By the way, actually, I was in Liffey Valley having a burger and chips before a trip to the cinema last week.
What'd you go see?
Fantastic Beasts. Yeah, no. And it doesn't often happen to me, but a guy, very nice guy, came over and said, oh, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was like, listen to you, whatever. And I was like, oh, that's very nice, you know. And then as soon as he said, I listened to the podcast, though, I was like, oh, well then. Completely different reaction. I mean, I like the Off the Ball faithful, but a friend of the pod is a special person. I'm always
like
happy
a select
to hear
group,
from them.
Isn't it?
Yeah, anytime a friend of the pod's around, I want them to come up and say hi. Mm. Off the Ball fans, you know, they don't choose you
well,
in the same
more
way.
Of them.
Yeah, and they like you have to be sought out for the Golf Weekly pod. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
So, if you see Joe over the festive period,
yeah. Tell him you listen to the golf podcast.
And feel free to have a
yeah.
conversation.
If you're an Off the Ball listener.
So, this competition, is this our first ever competition?
Yeah.
It brings together some of my favourite things.
Okay.
Dubai.
Yes, check.
Duty.
Yeah.
Duty.
Free stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And the Irish Open. Whew. So, we have been given a European Tour festive fan pack. Our thanks to Connor and the European Tour for supplying us with this.
Thanks, Connor.
It is the ultimate golfing gift. Now, we're recording this on Thursday. You need to get your order in by midnight tonight if you want one of these.
All right, harsh.
To actually buy them. But we're going to give away one for free to one of our listeners.
I'm
you
still
get
not sure what we're giving
two
away.
Two tickets okay. to the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open mm-hmm. taking place next summer. Port Stewart.
What date again?
2 weeks before the Open Championship.
Okay.
So you get two tickets.
Yeah.
£50, because it is in Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. merchandise voucher,
yeah.
a programme and a draw sheet, two drinks tokens, and it's all packaged up very nicely.
Very
so
good.
You get your day out at the Irish Open for you and a mate.
Okay.
It's all worth £119. It's all worth £150.
Okay.
But you can buy it for £119.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, so it's good that we don't usually give away prizes.
So go to DubaiDutyFreeIrishOpen.com.
No, but how you win our prize.
Yeah, how
okay,
you win
so
our
you
prize.
Can go there. But to win our prize, we've just agreed to make things very easy. Just give us your thoughts on the pod or the golfing year. Just some observations on 2016. But you have to have the hashtag Golf Weekly. Just want to see if we trend out of interest.
Yeah.
They say in Ireland, if you
don't
take money to trend.
The key is hashtag Golf Weekly.
Hashtag Golf Weekly.
And a story. So, yeah.
A thought, a story, a picture, just something. We want you to add into our 2016 review of the year.
We will announce the winner on our first podcast of 2016. You can pick up your prize.
Will we get the
Port
listener
Stewart
on the air?
On the day. We should surprise them.
Let's do that.
We will surprise them.
Let's ring them and put them on the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Fiona's like, okay.
No, because I'm going to announce
so
how are we
going to
get
the
their telephone number?
Just on the Irish Open.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Tweet your telephone number.
No. We'll have to tweet you that you've won,
yeah,
or we'll DM you that you've won.
It won't be a surprise.
And it won't be a surprise.
We'll still just get you up on the line for the hell of it, just to hear from a friend of the pod, an actual friend of the pod, Fionn.
Yeah.
Okay, so just an observation about the golfing year or the podcast. Hashtag Golf Weekly. So 2016 is a big year to review. A lot went on. The highlight, I think, we were just throwing around. I mean, we're not going to do a top 10 kind of business. That's takes too much organisation. You did that. You can read out your top 10 moments at the end of the year. But I suspect if we were to draw a Venn diagram, each of our top moments, then certainly right in the middle would be the modern day iteration of the Jewel in the Sun. The Jewel of the Suns 2016 was just about as good as golf got. I presume everyone agrees?
Yeah.
Outstanding memory from that particular week in Royal Troon, lovely Royal Troon, home to the Montgomerys.
Is it Stenson walking the putt in on 18?
Yeah.
That was a nice moment.
It was the standard of putting on the final day, which was just bang, 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 bang. Every time one of them stepped it up and went 5 feet further out, the other one matched it.
Very famously, walking to the fifth tee on the Sunday, Stenson turned to Phil and said, "We've got a pretty good better ball going on here." Because they both knew they were on. Like, the reason it was so amazing is that they were both on electric, couldn't have been much better, and just kept responding. Very few mistakes, from what I remember, of the Sunday.
It was
there
the
were no mistakes.
Best tournament.
Well, there was one bogey between them.
Scoring-wise, it was the best tournament throughout the entire year compared to the field average, was Stenson's final score.
There's an excellent
63.
Piece in... huh?
Oh, sorry,
his overall,
overall score
for the entire
270,
week.
Whatever. Yeah.
There's an excellent piece in Golf Digest at the moment you should check out. John Hogan wrote it. And so what he's done is got an oral history of what happened that week and spoke to all the main protagonists. So, for instance, it starts in Oakmont at the US Open where Mickelson and Stenson are playing together. And in the second round, third hole, Phil, there's a delay. Phil turns to Stenson and says, listen, you're one of the best long iron and middle iron players in the game, which is what you have to do to win major championships. I said, you're going to win a major championship. Just keep doing what you're doing. And Stenson said, weirdly, that's all very good. It'll be great as long as you're not on the receiving end of it.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
So Phil talked about shooting a 66 in the final day of the Scottish Open and knowing I'm ready. And then Pete Cowan contributed as well. And it's just a little insight for the golf nerds. Said, I put a thick putter grip on a wedge for Henrik when he won in Germany the month before. Never heard of this before, really. And I brought it with me to Scotland. He's so feel orientated that the grip helps him achieve the perfect movement on the backswing. Once he knows he's in that position, he becomes so calm and confident. I never had Stenson down as a field player. He just looked mechanical to me. But the best part of the piece, funny enough, is the 63 on the...
Oh, sorry, no.
On the Thursday.
Before you go on.
Go on.
The second part of that Pete Cowan quote is where he goes, when he doesn't feel right, he tends to panic.
Mm.
I thought that was interesting. And when he does, he tries to correct things at impact, which
is
I think
late.
Most golfers can identify with, and also you understand it's too late. But I just thought that was interesting, is that he tends to, rather than calmly reset, he tends to...
panic,
yeah,
like us all. Mm. So the 63 on the Thursday was obviously amazing.
62 and a half.
Phil 63, yeah, they call it 62 and a half. So Bones has a funny story. They're walking to the 18th after Phil has hit the approach shot, and Bones says, I start walking and Phil goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's like, team meeting. First time in 24 years he called a team meeting during a round. His opening line is, do you know what this putt is for? And I went, yeah. He goes, you know, historically speaking. And I went, yeah, of course, 62. He goes, okay, I need your best read ever right now. I'm like, man, I'm on board. We're now walking towards the green and I'm thinking, well, this is going to be like a guy throwing a no-hitter. No one's going to say anything going up to the green. You know, superstitions. But Ernie Els is like, cuzzy, I want a 62. Ernie was all in. The whole way down, he's literally rubbing Phil's shoulders. He's pumping him up. You can do it, Phil. Bone says, a foot or two from the hole, it was absolutely in. 99 times out of 100. Perfect read, perfect speed. Phil was crushed.
Oh, no! How did it stay out? A putt to make golfing history, and it rims out on the 18th hole. It's another 63, the 28th in major championship history. And Phil Mickelson, a wonderful round of golf. And how did that stay out for a 62?
If you remember, Bones falls back and his feet are in the air. He's on his back on the green, just in pain.
Horseshoes. It's in on the right side. Dips in and then just jumps out at the back of the hole, and it doesn't even skid off. I wonder, there's so many different things you can... It ends up an inch away. Like, is that any... Does it make a difference? Is it any better or worse than if it just kind of horseshoed off?
So it means 7,500-yard course, you miss out history by an inch.
By an inch. But not just that. It goes in and then jumps out, and it's... Like, the pace is perfect. It didn't have the right line, but missed out on pace. It had both. Well, obviously, the line wasn't exactly right. But, yeah, it's one of those moments.
Yeah, the reaction showed why everybody loves Phil and why Phil is such a brilliant personality for sport. Because he didn't try and hide it. They didn't just give the old shrug of the shoulders and go, ah, well, he was, as Bone said, crushed. And he made sure everybody knew just what this meant, that... There's certain things I can achieve in golf, and Tiger Woods has led the way on everything I've tried to do for the last 20 years. Even Tiger, Jack, none of them have been able to do this.
Yeah. One of the highlights of 2016 is Phil had a good year, I guess. You want Phil playing well. Of the final round, Jack Nicklaus said, I happened to watch the first hole. I turned on the TV at home in Florida. I sat down and watched the whole thing, and I never do that. I usually try to watch some of the golf, the majors, but this was the one occasion where I couldn't stop watching. True for us all.
And, you know, did you see Mickelson's now had surgery?
Second time.
Yeah.
Hernia.
So, and with no plans for a return. No, sorry, no scheduled plan for a return.
Yeah. So, Jewel of the Suns, as good as it gets, amazing. I have to say, the Masters of all the majors as well, vividly sticks in my mind. And you're straight on to the 12th and Jordan Spieth and the meltdown. Yeah, leading by five shots after 63 holes.
It was the most unexpected meltdown that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So
he was done.
You can go back to Rory at the Masters and at the 10th. Like, Rory's really truly competing for a major for the first time. He's a young player. There's huge pressure on him. You didn't expect it to go as horribly wrong as it did, but it was understandable. But Spieth had been crushing everything in golf for 15 months. Yeah. He was playing by far the best golf at Augusta. He was five shots clear.
Yeah.
Two holes before that.
Yeah.
And for him, who seemed as though he was the most mentally strong golfer out of anyone, for that to happen was just so unexpected.
He duffs one and then... Oh, he goes in the water and then he duffs in again, is what happened.
It's a second shot.
Mm.
That one, that's like a chili dipper.
Yeah.
He just kind of... In the first one, whatever, he catches a tiny bit fat and... It's the second one.
Yeah.
The second one is just in the middle of the meltdown.
Lee Trevino said, I'll tell you what happened. Both he and his caddy blanked. They just went blank, both of them. Neither of them was in control.
Yeah. Understandable, perhaps, when you look at what had happened over the previous 15 months. So he had turned from prodigious talent to the best player in the world, won two majors, could easily have won all four majors.
Yeah.
And here he is turning up in the first major of the next year.
I know.
And he's crushing everybody again. Nothing in his life is going wrong. Suddenly there's this huge hiccup and they both... They've never had to deal with anything like that.
Yeah. You do forget the context back then. He was the most prodigious thing we'd maybe ever seen, given his 2015. Because what I remember very strongly from that Masters as well is that he was paired with Rory. And Spieth wasn't hitting the ball very well at that Masters. But just by dint of his short game, particularly his putting, he was dagger after dagger to McIlroy's heart, who was actually striking the ball okay at times. And McIlroy's putting at that point was just disastrous. And it culminated, I think, in desperation for McIlroy when in the 11th, you remember famously, he was in the trees in 11, and the one thing you don't do is hit a hook shot out of those trees because it all feeds down to the water anyway. And he just did it anyway, went in the water, and you just looked at him and thought, you're a million miles behind Spieth. That's how it felt at that stage. But that's one of my, that's my other strong, strong memory from the Masters, as well, of course, as Big Ernie.
Oh, yeah. Big Ernie. And then, what about this one?
Louis Oosthuizen, king of the swingers. Louis. J.B. Holmes, is his ball is there. Is it going to get round it somehow or other? Oh! No! No! Go on, go on! Oh, that's unbelievable!
Goodness!
Have you ever seen anything like that?
Ever in my life! We almost both went in.
JB has to replace his ball where it came from, but Lewis counts. It's a one.
I won't lie, I don't remember that.
You don't remember Oosthuizen's hole in one?
No.
That hit JB Holmes' ball on the way into the hole.
Forgotten.
But you remember it now.
No.
Shane Lowry had a hole in one, didn't he, at the Masters as well?
He did, two holes earlier playing.
Yeah, yeah. Was this on the 16th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember vaguely now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's the unlikeliest thing where JB Holmes' ball, JB Holmes hits a beautiful tee shot. He's whatever it is, he's like 6 feet from the hole.
Mm.
Oosthuizen feeds down, it hits Holmes' ball that runs almost like the ball is going to go in the hole as well, but just kind of misses left side.
Yeah, no, I remember, and trickles in. Yeah, yeah.
Trickles in.
I should mention as well, just to really, remind ourselves of a time when the Masters was on, it was basically the first time we were talking about Bryson DeChambeau. He had emerged in the Middle East, but he was at the Masters in a big way. Justin Johnson, not known for his great wit or quote, but said of a practice round with Phil and DeChambeau, who were talking a lot about physics. Johnson said, if I hang around with those guys much longer, I'll never break 100. Which wasn't bad. As for Els, he said, Els, God, at least he's still playing the game. You saw some of those puts today. That's just end of career stuff. I just want to enjoy it again. That's what I said to my wife. I just want to enjoy it. I don't care if I never win again. I need to enjoy it. Otherwise, I'll have to do something else. That's how serious it was that week from...
And the week before, he'd led the field in putts made from inside 10 feet.
Well, very famously he said as well that he just tried something new on the practice green almost like the day before or that morning. And then, okay, that's all very well in the practice round. Then go out into the white heat of Augusta.
The toughest greens in the world.
You missed the first one and suddenly you're lost. You're flailing. Any other thoughts on the Masters? I mean, it's never going to be referred to, as much as we might think it's unfair, it is just never going to be referred to as Danny Willett's Masters.
Well, we've just spoken about it for six, 7 minutes, and that's the first time we've mentioned Danny Willett. And unfortunately for Danny Willett, when we talk about 2016 for him, the Masters isn't really the first thing we talk about there either.
Is it the first thing we talk about with Danny Willett, his brother's letter?
Yeah. Oh,
God. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Man.
There is one mitigating circumstance. I mean, it is worth bearing in mind. He won a major. He deserved to win that major. He played over the course of the 72 holes better than all of them. So, but he stank out the joint for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think, to be fair, and it's just one of those intangibles, the TV coverage didn't have much of Danny for a large part of the round. Sometimes
and coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, sometimes there's certain players that for whatever reason they're enough in the mix or they have a high enough profile that you see most of their shots. Whereas, honestly, the only real shot I remember of Willett's is his great tee shot on 16. Mm. The Masters. I vaguely remember him coming up 18, but he had a very good shot on the 16th. And other than that,
because
I can't remember him.
Because
it's all about
Augusta,
speed.
Which controls the feed.
Why, yeah.
They don't care about Danny Willett.
No, but that's the same in every golf tournament. We had the same thing 2 weeks ago with Tiger and people saying Jamie Holmes hits an unbelievable shot, yet I'm watching 10 replays of Tiger.
Yeah.
Every golf tournament, there's the narrative.
Yeah.
And the narrative of the Masters was Jordan Spieth was about to do something unbelievable and blew up in the most spectacular fashion.
The other majors were, of course, Jimmy Walker, wire to wire, in the rain at Baltusrol.
Yeah.
Delighted for Jimmy. Good man.
Absolutely. And yet, the memorable moment for me from Baltusrol is not Jimmy Walker, it's Jason Day.
That is a 2-iron on the way from 254 playing 260.
Wow, he's screaming at it. He's begging. It's a huge... Oh, my goodness.
An unbelievable bust. How can you hammer an iron that far and that straight?
And an eagle it is.
Yeah, amazing. That 18th hole was great. Like, uphill, the par 5, it was like, perfect finishing.
Jimmy Walker, obviously, that was it. He owned the place. But Jason Day, I think that's the shot of the year for me.
It's up there. I mean, McIlroy at the K Club.
And McIlroy at the
K Club, yeah.
But the thing was, and I don't know if I'd love to talk to someone who was on the fairway or there, but from a television point of view, Day holds the putt for eagle and stares back down at Jimmy Walker, who's staring back up. Yeah. I feel like they must have been looking at each other because Day looked right back down at him. Amazing. And then Jimmy, you know, played it safe out wide, chipped on, did what he had to do and waved to Butch in the skybox.
When I was thinking about today's podcast, I was looking back through my tweets of the year to try and remind myself of the things I was excited about at the time.
Okay.
And my tweet for that was, holy shit, that may be the greatest shot I've ever seen. Now, granted, I do lose the run of myself.
Well, in the moment.
At 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday night when you're watching it. But and then I was watching it back last night on YouTube and... Holy Jesus.
It's something.
It's a 2-iron.
Yeah.
Well, that was it.
260. Like
How does he hit the bloody ball that far?
And high.
Yeah. I know. That actually really, you know, Jason Day's year, I don't know, you don't call it a failure, but man, he gave that a good go.
He did.
That was good. I'm still, though, ever since Glenn Eagles in particular, I'm a big Jimmy Walker fan.
Like
the cut of his jib.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's cool.
I mean, because McIlroy also, obviously the 3-wood, was it 3 or 5-wood he hit at the K Club?
Three
which
wood.
Hole? 16 or 18?
16 was definitely a 3-wood. Both of them would have been 3-woods.
Yeah. But do you remember the one, it kind of got lost in the first playoff hole. Do you remember of the FedEx?
Yeah.
McIlroy hits that unbelievable shot with the twirl.
Mm.
And now he lays it down, misses the putt, but the shot itself, it was a player with supreme confidence, just playing absolutely brilliant stuff. Now, he had to wait another hour to win it in the end, but that shot, strangely enough, maybe, I'm not saying it wasn't more spectacular than the K Club, but in the moment, given everything that was going on, I just thought, wow, Rory, balls out. That was brilliant.
Well, in the absence of structure then, because we'll get on to Irish golf, shot of the year, what do people want to go for?
I have to go for Rory at the K Club because we were there.
Yeah.
Just
and the 16th, obviously.
18 was pretty incredible. Yeah. 18 was 253 yards, and everybody was expecting something spectacular, and he just said, yeah, I'll go for it. But
because he's spoken about it, and he mishit his drive slightly, so was a bit closer than he thought, and just thought, I can't lay up with a wedge here. But I mean, to give this context, Nathan and I were calling it for News Talk at the time, and we both said, this is too much of a gamble, this is too much of a risk at 16, he doesn't need to do this.
Well, nobody had done it all day. Nobody went for the green into all day. They had pushed the tee box right back. Martin Keimer, who was trying to chase him down and who had gone on a pretty good run, and maybe if he'd birdied all the way to 18, could have put him under real pressure. Keimer came off at 18 and said, you know, was been asked about what Rory could do. He's like, 16 is impossible to reach into. It's a tiny little green raised up high.
Water all around.
Yeah.
Like if he had screwed that shot up, and that's very easily done, he loses the whole tournament.
Absolutely.
So it was for us. I mean, I can't argue strongly against Jason Day as your choice.
There are other kind of elements. It's in a major, Jason Day. Yeah, he's going for the win. There's no doubt that in the moment, in the day that was in it, winning the Irish Open was as important in that moment to Rory McIlroy as winning a major. No question.
The other major of the year we should turn to is, of course, US Open. And this gets into Irish golf in effect. So, like Shane Lowry, let's just touch on him because we had him in last week. So Lowry effectively has had a very difficult year because last year he was in the top 20 in the world. He peaked at 17. He was 21st around this week last year. As of this week, he's now gone out to 42nd, 43rd. So that's a serious drop for him, and we hope he turns that around. I mean, the one bright spot, the one like amazing week where we thought we'd have an Irish major winner was the US Open, where he leads by four shots going into that final round.
Six under, he gets to.
You know what I mean? I mean, it was overshadowed by the Euros. We were at the Euros making the football. But man, like Lowry gave us the best major run of the year. Played amazing golf.
I was watching the highlights of it this morning.
So you guys are way more prepared for this than me.
Lowry, the putts he misses for par. Like, you know, the old, you know, that kind of silly adage, the two things that don't last that long are dogs that chase cars. But as a putt who's putting for par, like leaving himself 6, 8, 9 feet for par, and he seemed to leave a lot of them out to the right. And you could see his whole body language just sink ever more as he's losing a shot to the field. And meanwhile, DJ is coming up. And yeah, it was. And it like a guy who played so brilliantly for 58 holes and then, or 50, whatever it was. I'm trying to count. Is it 58?
54. Well, 54 what for his first three rounds. 54, yeah. The thing which my main memory of that night is the inevitable sense that Johnson was going to win. I think from very early in that round, you knew Lowry wasn't himself. He talked to us last week about being too conservative. First time he's ever led, happened to be a US Open. And I just remember, even with the rule fiasco, even with that nonsense, Johnson was always going to get it done.
I put it together. There's like the two kind of contrasting elements of DJ's round are obviously the fifth and then the 18th.
Hardest thing about this putt is that it's coming off the putt you just hit.
Oh, no.
Well, I didn't address it.
There we go.
Yeah. It went like that.
Yeah, I know, but my putter wasn't my
putter. No, he put one down, no.
What a gem, Dustin Johnson.
A birdie at 18. Dustin Johnson will win the U.S. Open.
There we go. And Paulina?
Yeah.
Runs on and cameraman follows her pretty close.
Pretty close. And she,
for a good hour.
So much so that you notice she pulls her skirt down at one point.
I know, but it's difficult when she's going up the stairs.
Nobody noticed that.
No, don't be disgusting. Yeah. She's going up the stairs.
And he's
like behind and below her.
Like in normal everyday life, that is frowned upon. Yeah. Never mind when you've got a camera and it's on live TV.
Oh, dear. Like a bum hasn't had that much focus post-round since poor old Jason Duffner gave the missus a smack on the bum.
The smack.
At the BGA.
Oh, it seems so long ago.
I thought you were going to say since Robert Garrigus got a swamp ass a few years back.
Oh, yeah. The sweats was so bad. Oh, dear.
But
so, Dustin Johnson. Is Johnson now in the mix for Player of the Year?
Oh, he is Player of the Year.
He won the PGA Player of the Year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we have him above Stenson for Player of the Year?
Oh, yeah.
In the US, they do.
Yeah. Are there any other contenders?
Stenson.
Besides Johnson and Stenson, has anyone had a remarkable year?
Not that I can think of. I mean, no.
No.
Not in that kind of all-dominating...
Yeah.
No. No, it's DJ and Stenson. They're the only two.
What has DJ done this year?
So, he's still pretty much driving the exact same distance. In fact, this year he drove a couple of yards less, his average driving distance. Now, that's probably just maybe the courses he played. Mm. I wouldn't read too much into that. But last year, so from 100 to 150 yards, he was 135th in strokes gained. This year, he was 12th.
Oh.
And that was the number one improvement. That gave him 0.2 strokes per round. His putting also improved. So they spoke about this, how he was really struggling from within 6 feet of the hole. Focused on that over the winter.
Yeah.
Improved that. Got 0.2 of a stroke back in that. And all in all, these little improvements in every part of his game, not really focusing on his driving, contributed to gaining, I think it was half a stroke.
Against
the field.
That's amazing.
Which, for someone who was already, I think...
Per round. Oh, dear.
Who was already two strokes per round better than the field coming into the year.
Like, that's... So he, essentially, cumulatively, he's got four strokes on the field.
It's good. That's a good improvement per tournament.
We like, started practicing like
when he was, yeah, when Johnson famously has asked, what does he account for his improvement? He went, well, I started practicing.
I know.
You're like, really, DJ? Really?
That was heartbreaking.
That was great drama, that US Open, in spite of Lowry not being able to seal it. Mm. Like, you can hear it there in the commentary when they go, here we go.
Yeah, the real change situation.
No, but in the commentary, yeah, when he says, here we go.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
knows what is about to happen.
Yeah.
And... the USPGA just making an absolute...
Fairness, it's USGA.
USGA, sorry. Yeah. USGA making an absolute balls of it.
Well, I mean, you say everyone knew what was going to happen. I didn't really know what the hell was going on. I didn't understand.
Was that. Yeah. Everyone knew there was going to be confusion.
Yeah, because I remember Billy Foster, Lee Westwood's caddy, was there and he was saying to Johnson, don't let it worry you, just try and keep going. I remember the confusion for those 2 hours.
Because they only gave him the penalty when he was on the 12th, so he played 7 holes. Not knowing one way or the other which way the penalty was going to go. It took 7 holes for them to adjudicate that.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
I mean, it was shockingly bad, and they've obviously changed the rules since. So other Irish interest, I mean, that was Lowry's part in the US Open.
Well,
so how are we feeling about McIlroy? Obviously an incredibly shaky first 6 months. Putting was terrible. Switching putters, switching his grip in the putter. Wins the Irish Open on account of his ball striking, and latter half of the year is doing enough with his putting to win tournaments.
Win the FedEx. He won $11.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone into 2017 like with more zip in his step, whatever, arrows in his quiver, whatever way you want to put it. He has to go in feeling supremely confident that he can challenge Jason Day, DJ, and a rejuvenated Jordan Spieth. He has to feel that 2017 is going to be as much his year potentially as it is for any of the others.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'm feeling good about Rory.
Yeah, so am I. But what a 2016. Like, Christ, we...
Yeah,
he's never dull.
We've gone this way to that way and back again with Rory.
Yeah.
The one thing that disappoints me...
The interview with
of the last... No, I enjoyed that. I thought that was... that'd be up there with my top 10 highlights of the year.
Well, number one, I think.
Yeah, humour is always good, Fionn. I should try some.
Yeah, it's true.
Was the final day of the Irish Open, when we came, we were kind of wrapping up, and you were making the point pretty strongly, I think, that... this felt like a day where Ireland's attitude to Rory McIlroy had changed. Remember, he gave the entire prize money to the Rory Foundation, as well as every bit of profit that was made that week. It all comes to a couple of million quid.
Mm.
He had handled himself brilliantly throughout the course of the week, said all the right things at all the right times. He was going to play for Ireland at the Olympics, and that suddenly Ireland had latched on to McIlroy. Maybe not quite to the extent that they do to Harrington and to Lowry, but that there was... finally, the love that you feel should be going to Rory McIlroy. And now, at the end of the year, you look back again and go,
I know, what does he have to do? I don't know.
It's kind of gone.
You think it's gone?
I think the not playing at the Olympics has had a huge...
Do you think that there's kind of back to that, Rory McIlroy?
Shane Lowry didn't play at the Olympics.
Yeah, but weirdly, he got away with it. And that, I'm sure, frustrates the hell out of Rory, because he was the only one.
What does it say about the Irish psyche? We're very uncomfortable with winners, big winners. You need to be humble. You need to go. You need to have an aw shucks about it all.
We quite like a three-time major winner.
Yeah, but because he always carries himself as someone who's modest and humble.
Conor McGregor does okay.
Conor McGregor's the most divisive.
I'm just saying there is no reason when I look at McIlroy, the way he plays golf, the success or the personality, for us not to like him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying
we don't like him. I think ultimately that's the issue. I think he is more of Planet Nike
than he is
a citizen of yeah. You know, I just think that is the thing with him. He's inaccessible, and yet he's so. But that's
he's so
accessible. Yeah,
I saw him walking down Grafton Street last week.
He was on the Late Show, Show, and like every time I listen to
what was he like walking? What was his demeanor? Was he looking up?
It was weird. We were walking right towards each other, and then he walked.
It was weird. Yeah. You've grown your beard longer.
He's put it up and out for you.
I'm saying is he making eye contact, or has he got like the baseball cap down? Kind of.
I looked. Perfectly relaxed.
So he's perfectly that's it. There you go.
I adore him, I have to say. I really do like him. I think he's brilliant. And every time he does an interview, I think he comes across great. I think he's fantastic.
I thought he did great in the Little Billy interview, even though Little Billy can whatever. But thought he was great.
I understand why people love Lowry and Harrington and have an affection towards Lowry and Harrington.
Yeah.
But McIlroy, the way he handles himself
at
a completely different stratosphere of fame,
he
couldn't handle himself any better.
No, it's true.
He always says the right thing. In fact, he always says the right thing from a media point of view, because he'll say what he thinks and he might backtrack a little bit.
He still sort of tells the truth.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't become a robot. Yeah, I think an amazing year for him. I think he's more confident in himself than ever before. I think he's great. Harrington obviously won the Portugal Masters. That was great. Yank it his arse pocket. That's a highlight for everyone. Every time Harrington wins, it's just like, enjoy it for what it is.
Was he resetting his hips? Was that what it was? Pulling.
Not using his hips properly in the swing. Never has, apparently. Mm. I'd say he's used them okay once or twice.
Yeah,
but
there's three majors worth of using your hips okay.
Not in his world. How do we reflect upon the Olympics?
Well, I mean, given what you said at the beginning, you know, talking about Malachy Clerkins.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, maybe that's the post, that's the aftermath.
Yeah.
It was Rose beating Stenson in the last. I was surprised that it was. I thought it was going to be a disaster, really boring, and nobody
would watch. It had 362 to 3 days of bad press, no one interested.
Yeah.
And then it was saved because the event was good. And I think the fact that it was Rose v Stenson has given it credibility.
The four days that it was on were a success. And people took interest on the final day. The course looked brilliant at the time. There were decent crowds for the final day as well.
It was in a biosphere, you know, protected reserve. So, of course it looked nice.
But the greater question that was around it, which just didn't make any sense, and never makes sense around golf pretty much all the time now, of, you know, will it grow the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, nothing will grow the game unless
it has taken off in the favelas. It was in Malachy Clerkins.
It's true, it's really taken off.
Oh yeah, they love it.
Yeah, you cannot get a tea time.
Aim for the sugar loaf.
Yeah. The no doubt, I still think they should make it match play. I think this idea that it's going to be, that it's stroke play, despite the fact that you had, well, Matt Kuchar was also in the mix, so it's worth bearing in mind that the Americans also had a nice interest. But, like, why isn't it match play? It should be match play.
Yeah, correct. Ryder Cup, and we've talked about this relatively recently. It was great. It was good. Fiona, I know it's one of your highlights.
Yeah, it's and now I don't know if, like, you can tell from the clip. I mean, obviously, you got to watch because it's the reaction of both players. But McIlroy v. Reed, despite the fact the front nine was amazing, the back nine was horrendous, but the front nine was excitement for the ages almost.
I know it's losing speed. This is just all about trying to get it up there in two putt. I know Mickelson hold it from down the bottom over the top level yesterday, but it's very unlikely. Just trying to get out with a three.
Bet against Patrick Reed following him in.
And then there's the waggle of the finger.
It's the waggle of the finger.
Yeah, now, no, Rory.
There's a part of me thought I didn't quite get it. I can't hear you. It's
like, I like that. I was pumped. It was, no, come on.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. His box office, it was amazing.
It was pretty
boxy. Okay, it's contrived, but he's so pumped in that moment.
He was.
You can't contrive holding a putt like that and doing that,
some,
you know.
Putt, though. Holy moly. No, it was, yeah, of course. So, although, oddly enough...
We've got 2 minutes left before Nathan has to go.
Okay, the two... Okay, the other one, also related. And as exciting as that was, the adrenaline of that front nine, it wasn't a patch on Mikkelsen Garcia.
Yeah, which finished him.
18 holes of genius golf for both of them.
Yeah.
With Garcia winning the point again, because I think the very first point, someone will correct me, that Garcia ever won in the Ryder Cup was beating Mikkelsen, like, way years ago. And then, here's the other one. And at the Travelers Championship, Jim Furyk's 58.
Yeah, amazing.
Should have been a 57.
Yeah, he let that one get away a bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Go, Jim Furyk. I saw in the top-ranked earners of all time, it's... Tiger, then Phil. There's someone else third, and then on $68 million career dollars, Jim Furyk.
Steady as she goes.
Steady as she goes. Yeah. Master your own swing. And that, of course, leads us nicely on to the conclusion of the year. And almost the best part about 2017 is that Tiger Woods is back. And he signed his deal with Bridgestone. Do you see the photo?
No.
There's a great photo. They've all been told, just act casual like you're chatting to each other. And so it's a photo shoot. It's Tiger Woods in the middle, hanging out with his new Bridgestone friends. He's got Matt Kuchar, Bryson DeChambeau, Fred Couples and Brant Snedeker. And they're all just kind of joshing. It's nice. He's one of the guys.
If only there was an event 2 weeks before the Open Championship that Tiger could along to, well, to prepare his Lynx golf.
Well, apparently there's rumours, you know.
Yeah.
There are rumours that Tiger and Irish Open could happen.
Conor Deegan, formerly of this parish.
Well, he's of this parish.
He's of this parish. Yeah. He... years ago told me about the Bridgestone ball. He was one of the big exponents of, and there's a guy, you got to listen to Connor.
Oh, it's no Callaway, but go on.
It's true.
Wally's.
Connor talked a lot. I remember at the time, I suppose we were all in the Titleist Nike throw. You know, it's like, really?
Yeah.
Now, Callaway's an okay ball. But like, I remember Connor playing in the castle and Connor pulls out a couple of Bridgestones and I was like, why are you playing Bridgestones? Mm. And he explained to me why it was such a brilliant ball.
The science of it.
The science of it, yeah.
Well, Tiger agrees.
Yeah.
And he signed an endorsement deal.
Yeah, there you go. So I think I thought that was fair.
It was brusque, you know. I mean, we could have talked for 2 hours, but it's a busy day. We've done very well to record today, really. You literally, Nathan, have to do another interview in a minute and a half.
Yeah, the big one.
What's the big one?
Preston North End manager, Simon Grayson.
Ooh.
Tommy's looking through the window. Yes, Tommy, 1 minute.
We're giving the nod.
Have you got Kilbane on the
Kilbane as well? I think we've done pretty well this year. We've churned out a lot of
more
podcasts
than ever before. I have to say it's been our most successful Golf Weekly year ever, really, in terms of the amount we've done. And just the
feedback. If you're listening, Callaway, success.
Just Callaway are like, we've emailed you 10 times. You've never bothered getting back to us.
We're really busy. Gents, it was a pleasure. So happy Christmas, one and all.
Happy New Year.
Friends of the pod, I guess we'll see you very soon because Riviera and the Hawaii swing is just around the corner. Alrighty. All my exes wear Rolexes, but I reside right here in Dardanelle.